Kezia Simpson, would you please come up here? So she, by the way, she's not getting married, okay? Just like, this is completely separate. So what we're going to do, I've invited Kez up here. She's going to read our scripture passage for today. And I would like you to stand, please, while she reads. We're going to put it up on the screen. We're going to read Matthew 6, 25 through 33.
Okay. It goes, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own."
This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for this day. Would you speak your wisdom to us through your Spirit? May we hear you. May we know you. May we feel you. God, thank you for your wisdom in your word. And bless our people today as you speak through me. In your son's name. Thank you, Kez. You may be seated. I just needed you guys to hear a South African accent. That was really, really cool. Really cool. You guys, we are in week one of the Unshakable series, Finding Safety and Security in the Kingdom of God. You're probably wondering what this big rock is doing. Well, you've probably seen it out in the lobby. Aaron Schwaber, thanks a lot, okay? Aaron made a big rock. So we're going to be having this up here for the next 8 weeks as we go through the Unshakable series. We're talking about, we'll be talking about that. There's actually still time to get involved in a small group, but we do have, a lot of you are involved. If you haven't gotten involved, I want you to see Jason Harris, and he will get you into the right small group if you're still interested, especially after this message. You'll probably be super inspired to do that, okay? So I asked Kez this morning, I said I needed a volunteer, and she said yes, and I actually forgot I might need another volunteer. And I forgot actually to talk to someone. So I'm going to actually walk out into the crowd and see if I can identify my next volunteer while I talk. One of the things that JR has talked about in the course of our time here, the last 2 weeks, is the kingdom of God. And I want to define what that means. The rule and reign of God, it means God has come to restore and make things right, to redeem and restore everything broken in our world. Now, Jesus was very clear that we have a significant role to play in his kingdom. The theme verse, is Hebrews 12:28. Oh, let me go back here. Since we have been receiving a kingdom that cannot be broken and cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. That is our theme verse. So leading up to that verse, I'm just trying to identify the right person. Leading up to that verse, God says we're going to ascend his holy mountain. His church has been invited to come, and there's going to be a day when he's going to make everything right. Everything right. And Christ's kingdom cannot be shaken, which means it is unwavering, it is unmoved. And we now have access to that kingdom. Now, it's difficult to believe because there are significant obstacles that we have to overcome in order for us to believe that. And there is a major, major obstacle that we're going to talk about over the course of today. And that obstacle is to believe that God is good, that he has our best interest at heart, and that he's in control of an unshakable kingdom. But that major obstacle is anxiety. It's my anxiety. Now, I know, because some of you would not make eye contact with me at all. You are just like, there is no way that he is going to select me. There is no way. Some of you are like, me, 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 me. And you're even feeling anxiety about the possibility I might get selected. Hooray, hooray. You're like me, a golden retriever who just loves being doing stuff like that. But then there's other of you, I just look straight at your eyes and you're just like this. Anxiety. You know what's really funny about that song? Is that it became popular on TikTok and Instagram, which, not coincidentally, is one of the leading causes of anxiety itself. Right? Yes, anxiety. That's what we're going to talk about today and how it relates to believing that we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. First, let's define anxiety. An emotion characterized by apprehension, fear, unease, and or bodily symptoms of tension in response to stress or anticipated threat. That's many of you right here. You are just feeling that. Now, as we start talking about anxiety, what I want to do is acknowledge, first of all, that there are medical anxiety disorders that cause excessive disabling fear and may require medical treatment, like generalized anxiety disorder. So I'm not unaware of that. As a matter of fact, a couple of my children suffer from that, and it's a big part of our family life. And so being debilitated and life-consuming, there's no quick fixes for those kinds of things. Like if you do this, if I just do this thing, then I get the outcome that I want. And so if you're suffering from anxiety disorder, I want to acknowledge that. I see you. Jesus sees you. And may the Lord God heal you from the inside out. May that be his will to do so. Right? But that's not the kind of anxiety that I'm going to be talking about today. But it doesn't exclude it either. For the vast majority of us, anxiety is caused by uninvited external circumstances and self-induced feelings where we feel out of control with our emotions and or expected outcomes. And we don't know what to do with that. Our world is flooded with anxiety. We're surrounded by demands, external and internal, that flood over us, triggering those feelings. And while I would love to spend the next 3+ hours, that's not going to happen, 3+ hours explaining to you in 2026 in our Western world all of the causes that is creating these external and internal sources for anxiety, I want to first acknowledge that anxiety is not a new phenomenon. So kind of a side point, I'm going to use the words anxiety and worry as synonyms. That means similar words in here. Is everyone okay with that? So I'm going to use them interchangeably. And I know they have slightly different definitions. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at the Bible, and we're going to see a biblical pattern that every major character in the Bible seems to be worried about something. So again, it's not a new phenomenon. Let's start in Genesis 3. Adam and Eve, they're worried about how God would respond. Noah was worried about what his neighbors thought of him. Abraham worried about not having a son. Isaac worried about not finding a wife. Jacob worried about his dad's approval. Moses worried no one would listen to him. David worried about his enemies, and that's just half the Psalms. Elijah worried that he was the only one left. And I'm not even through a quarter of the Bible, and that's just the major characters. And so the Bible doesn't ignore anxiety, And Jesus and Paul in the New Testament specifically take it head on to address it. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. So I could ask for a show of hands. I'm not going to. How many of you worry about things or have anxiety about life? But I don't need to do that. I don't need to do that because I know you do. Because I do too. We all do. We all worry. And Jesus assumes it that we do. Our anxiety stems from external and internal sources. We'll look at a few here. Where does anxiety come from? We're worried about our jobs, our family, our kids, lack of money, lack of boundaries. We're worried about our health. We're worried about our weight. We're worried about whether this country is going in the right direction or if the right person is going to get elected. We're worried about the argument that we had with a coworker or our neighbor or our spouse. If anything in my life will ever go right, maybe if I just had the right life or job or husband or wife, and all these that I see all these other people around me have, what a life I could have. I mean, that's just the right side, the external sources. I mean, heck, we even worry about the smallest things. I mean, like for me, I worry about if I give my child a bowl of cereal and I want you to take it from the counter over to the table without spilling. What are you doing? Don't do that. Why? Just hold it. And I get anxious about that kind of thing. Just the small little things. And I get anxious about relationships. JR spent the last couple of weeks talking about how he tends to be an avoider with relationships. You guys remember that? He was talking about being an avoider. He runs from conflict and shuts down. And we learn those patterns from childhood and how to respond with conflict when we're not intentional about being emotionally intelligent about it, we default to patterns that we learned. But my pattern is different than JR's. He's an avoider. I'm a pleaser. And my default response is, are we okay? Are we okay? Are you sure? Is there anything I can do? Are you mad at me? How can I make this right? Let me just do, say, or get anything so that this, me and you, this area, that we're okay together. Are we okay? Now look on this list on the left, the internal causes. Comparison, discontent, criticism, fear of missing out, the dopamine loop, pressure to form identity. Couldn't all of these, we could just say they just stem from social media alone? From Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I mean, look at this amazing happy family that I saw on TikTok. I know them. Except, wait, I do actually know them, and that's not what their life is actually like, because I know that those kids had a meltdown right before that photo. And I know that their marriage isn't actually that great, but they just kind of portray that on social media. For me, a big, big one is LinkedIn. LinkedIn is really hard for me, being in the business world, because while it's a great place to connect online, and I see what amazing jobs and accomplishments everyone has or done, and my career kind of looks a little bit worthless compared to what everybody else is doing, until you actually look and see what they say. They say on LinkedIn they're an award-winning leader, but in reality, they once won an award in high school. They're a speaker and writer, but really they're a wannabe influencer. Innovative commerce enthusiast, sales rep. We go on down the last two. Lifestyle coach. I once helped my uncle with weight loss. Lifelong learner. I watched several tutorials on YouTube. You realize they're just as ordinary as me. But still, if I had those things, I can't imagine the pressure and the anxiety placed on the weight of the shoulders of generations that come after mine. I'm 49, so I'm at the tail end of Gen X. And while I know that millennials feel anxiety, I cannot imagine for Gen Z and Gen Alpha what they are experiencing right now, as far as that goes. The external weight caused by phones, social media, crashing down on them has got to be absolutely crushing. And there's an entire movement that's started by this author, Jonathan Haidt. It's called The Anxious Generation. And he says, just get rid of it. Get rid of your phones. Get rid of the social media, or at least create some pockets of reprieve for yourself so that you can get rid of the comparison, the bullying, the criticism, the pressure to conform to a certain identity. And families and churches and youth groups, schools are adopting this model to try to stem the tidal wave of anxiety and depression that's linked to directly that pressures from social media. So I've talked about this in the past as well, and I seem to keep bringing it up, maybe it's a little hobby horse, but it's expressive individualism. This culture is saturated in it. It just means the personal fulfillment coming from discovering your inner self and expressing it outwardly with a need for others to validate your chosen identity. It's the desire to define ourselves outside the context of objective truth so that we define our own truth. The culture spends a lot of saying, well, without God, you can make your own meaning. You can serve your own interests. You control your life. You control your destiny. You control your future. It's all up to me. Live your truth. But I don't think that there is a recognition of how much of a burden that is for each person. It's all up to me. I have to keep trying to make up my identity, to prove my worth, to justify myself by what I do or behave, and then have you validate what I have made up about myself. If anything, that creates a tremendous amount of pressure on all of us. All of the pressure is on me, and I am not immune to this. I mean, man, look at how much this other person is making doing the same job that I'm doing. If I just jump to a better job, then we could have things or do things that I know that I deserve. And I've laid awake at night worrying about the decisions my children were making, the relationships that weren't right, the concern about what others thought of me, wondering when I was going to find time to get it all done, worrying about how I was going to afford it, anxious about how I possibly could fix that problem. That pressure to make my identity, to prove my worth, to have everything to be okay can be boiled down to one word. And it's my need for control. I have to have control. To control my identity, to control outcomes. To take it on myself to make it right. And anxiety is born out of my need for it. How do I get rid of it? Because I hate it. And what is our culture's answer to anxiety? To medicate it away. Or let's just go to our little happy place and think it away. But in reality, I don't know if you heard the song, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. There are all kinds of people, including ourselves, who are drowning in anxiety because we don't know if deep down we're okay. Because with anxiety, whether consciously or not, we're constantly asking ourselves, am I okay? That unsettledness, coupled with the desire for everything to be lined up in our lives with the right expected outcomes, to be whole. I want to be okay. And that is a part of our human nature. Because I would argue that in the Bible, that God put that desire inside of you. The deepest need in your life, the desire to be whole, to be right with yourself and those around you, can be fully met with Jesus. Remember, the kingdom of God is his rule and reign, meaning for he has come through Jesus to make things right, to redeem and restore everything broken in this world. And that's going to require letting go of our idols, everything that we believe that gives us worth. And when we let go of those things and cling to Christ alone, it's an alleviation of our anxiety and burden. So that's where we go back to Matthew 6. Therefore, Jesus speaking, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? And so don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Did you notice that Jesus' teaching on anxiety is tied to a kingdom solution? Let's pick a few points out of this. Number one, Jesus assumes that you have anxiety. He says, don't be anxious about your life. So whether it's about your basic needs or anything beyond that, stop worrying about it and give up control over how those needs will be met and give them up to God. Number two, anxiety changes nothing. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your life? Worry changes nothing. It's completely futile. As the great theologian Bobby McFerrin once said, in every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double, don't? Oh, you do know. Good participation. Number three, don't worry, be happy, in case you didn't catch that, if you're like under the age of 30, I don't know. Okay. Learn to live one day at a time. Jesus says there's enough trouble for each day, and we should focus on living each day as if it comes without worrying about tomorrow. And it doesn't mean that we don't plan for the future, but stop worrying about it. Number four, believe that God takes care of your needs. Food, drink, and clothing, they're symbolic of all of our needs, whether spiritual, emotional, or physical. He not only knows what they are, but he's able to take care of them because in his eyes, we are valuable. So Jesus is coaching us here. Spend less time worrying about what you need and more time trusting God. He knows what you need. Worry paralyzes us from living by faith. I'm going to say that again. Worry paralyzes us from living by faith. Our identity is bound to the fact that I am his child and my worth matters because God himself tells me that I'm seen, I'm cared for, and I am valued. And finally, he says, seek the kingdom of God. And this is where we're going to camp for our rest of our time here today. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What does this exactly mean? So remember, we're going to go back again. We're going to define the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God. It's for here now, and it's for the future. It has come, and it is coming. And it means that God has made, he's making everything's right through his Son to redeem and restore everything that is broken in our world. Seeking God's kingdom is the antidote to anxiety. It doesn't shapeshift, it's permanent. We don't have to wonder if God will keep his promise that everything will be all right. It is the answer to the question, am I okay? If we're looking for meaning and purpose, to ground our identity in something, to find healing and wholeness, in the midst of our worry, we have to stop and take a step toward the Lord. If I seek first his kingdom and let go of control, my anxiety will transform into trust, and God will give me just what I need. And so, if we're grasping for control, what I am suggesting is stopping and taking a step toward God by doing this. Lord, I let it go into your hands. And so what would you have me say in this moment? What would you have me to do? What would you have me believe about you, and what would you have me believe about myself? What do I need to let go of, and how can I trust you? These are just questions that we can start asking ourselves when we come into moments of anxiety. Because what happens is, when we get anxiety, when we have worry, our first reaction is, what am I going to do? That's usually mine. But I want you to shift your mind and instead ask, God, what would you say to me in this moment? Seeking the kingdom of God means aligning ourselves with his ways, his purposes, his teaching, his vision for our lives, his church, his priorities, his guidance. And when we seek his righteousness, we seek a right relationship with God and with others. And God is overjoyed to pour this out onto us. In a parallel passage in Luke, he adds this: fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let's head to a familiar passage in Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. A couple key takeaways from this. Number one, the peace of God enters into our life when we remove anxiety. And how did we do that? We did it with prayer, petition, worship, assigning worth to God, and through being grateful, thankfulness. When we reshift our focus to the goodness of God rather than the potential risks of life, the what ifs, we align our attitudes and our speech with the word of God. Back to Hebrews 12. This is our theme verse once again. Theme verse for the series, the Unshakable series. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God. Acceptably, reverence, and awe. There it is again. Worship. Thankfulness. There's your practical steps toward anxiety, getting rid of anxiety, stepping into the kingdom. And so we're left with two choices. Choice one, I can try to control my own world and be filled with worry, or I can humble myself and trust God to control it. The same author that wrote Psalm 23 is the same author that wrote Psalm 22. Does anybody know who that is? What's that? David. That's right, David. In Psalm 23, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." What a good, loving God. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Same guy, one psalm apart. But God is the same God in the valleys as he is in the mountains. Both forms of David's worship are valid. God is not afraid of our highs and our lows. We don't need to worry about that he's not with us, regardless of our external circumstances. He receives our joy and our pain, our celebration and our lament. And so, through thankfulness, worship, God's call to us in his word is to let it go. Easy for you to say, Jeff. No, it's not. Because I got to coach myself, as David does with his soul, coaching himself. Jeff, let go. Release control. Stop worrying. Trust in faith. Give your weakness into his hands. So if you are you in the process of worrying and anxiety, and you're having a hard time letting control of your life and placing it in the hands of Jesus, he's offering you a place in his kingdom to align with God. Now, there are a lot of practical steps that we can take to fight anxiety. We've talked about a couple, worship and gratitude. But there are lots of other things. As a matter of fact, psychologists, you can read any book, pick up any book. You're like, I have worry in my life. What should I do? And so here's some suggestions that they say. Create some margin in your life. Okay? Learn to say no. Set boundaries. Gratitude. Build steady routines. Accountability. Friendship. Taking breaks. Those are all great things. Here's the thing. Those are actually biblical principles, just used in different language. Okay? So the Bible, the Lord, counsels us to do the same things. He just uses different terms. Having margin in your life? How about some Sabbath or rest? That's what that is. That's a God thing. That's not a man thing. That's a God thing. Feasts or celebration. Having laws, that's boundaries. We set guardrails along for us, for ourselves. Prayer, worship, thankfulness, righteousness. That's getting right with God. And then church community, which is friendships, accountability, those kinds of things. But more than anything, it's really about letting go of control and seeking first the kingdom of God. We'll take a step toward God, and here at the end, we're going to do that. We're going to do something a little unusual. I have a tendency to do unusual things from up here. I see people are like shaking their head. You're like, you're kind of a weird guy. You're like, out of the norm. Maybe you're creating a little anxiety. But I'm not gonna call anyone out here. This is what we're going to do. We're going to ask ourselves a couple of questions. Maybe just pick one of them. And we're just going to be silent. And we're going to think about them. Because a lot of times we get action items, and then we're like, thanks for being here. And then we go, and then it's time to get to Wendy's. Okay? Well, I'm just saying. Or it's time to make sure that we get to the first quarter. Super Bowl doesn't start till 4:30. You guys are good. Here are the questions. Let's ask ourselves. What in my life do I need to let control of? Or what thing is consuming my life with worry? Let's just take a moment and think about those things. Some of you knew immediately. Some of you needed a little bit of time to think. Now, what I want to do is take a moment of quiet, and I want to respond to God with those things by asking those questions I did before. I'm going to read through them slowly while you're thinking. About that thing that God brought to your mind, what would you say to me in this moment? What would you have me do? What would you have me believe about you, and what would you have me believe about myself? What do I need to let go of, and how can I trust you? Don't drop that. If you need to, write it down. Or as you do as an old man, my kids make fun of me all the time, I get my phone out and I talk into it, and I do the voice memo. You can do that. Don't drop that. If you have anxiety or worry that is consuming your life, maybe you even want to take a picture of this. Just me, and you're like, I'm going to revisit this before the Super Bowl, before I stuff myself with wings. How can I trust you, God? We have built in little communities over the next 8 weeks where we can directly encourage each other over these things. So as we go into our small groups this week, I want to invite you to share with your group your anxieties, your fears, maybe even your answers to some of these things, and confess them to one another. If you haven't experienced freedom, now is a good time to start. Let's stand and pray. Thank you, Father, for this day, for this opportunity to be with us here today, to guide us and lead us in all things. Lord, we don't want to be filled with worry. We don't want to leave control up to ourselves, but we want to turn it over to you, your sovereign will, the grace to help us to overcome our anxiety. Lord, would you help us to humble ourselves and to trust you? Lord, I let it go into your hands. What would you say to me in this moment? What would you have me to do? What would you like me to believe about you and believe about myself? What do I need to let go of? How can I trust you? Thank you, Lord. Help us to seek the kingdom of God and your righteousness in all things that we do. We glorify you this morning. Bless these people as they go their separate ways this week. And may we honor you with our lives, our speech, our behaviors, our actions, all of us. Bring us into wholeness and healing. In your son's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to turn it over to Anita. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. I loved that. I have so many things I want to say right now, but I won't. I so enjoyed that. There were so many things to unpack there, so thank you, Jeff, so very much. I hope you guys spend time with that. Anxiety is one of those things that it's so good to get agreement in prayer with. And so our prayer team is over here. And so if there's just something that you're struggling with, especially when it comes to that, please take advantage. They will agree with you in prayer and help you squash that bug. All right. Have a good week. Don't forget your children. We'll see you next week.